Broadcasting 2.0 for August 2nd, 2024, episode 187, PR Hijack. We're early, but hey, you know, it's a Friday. And if it's Friday, that means it's time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything that's happening in podcasting all over the globe. You don't need to go anywhere else. You got to be right here. We are, in fact, the only boardroom that has no gavel or meeting notes. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who can set up a studio in your hotel room. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
Welcome to our first day of podcasting.
First day of podcasting?
Yeah, where we learn how to do a podcast.
Okay. Oh, man. There's so many moving parts when it comes to doing the live stream. And everything would have been fine were it not for we're doing this the board meeting an hour earlier. And yeah. So I thought, well, I have a backup stream. I'll just do that. And let's make sure to put the right URL in there. Well, no. And make sure you have AM set instead of PM. Well, no. Although I actually did that right after the last board meeting when you were in Nashville. I set it up, and so it's been broadcasting the incorrect time for a week.
We should have some kind of monitoring service, like, you know, uptime monitoring for your API.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Monitoring service that says, hey, this new time you just put in for the next broadcast.
Are you sure that's right? This stream doesn't seem to work. Are you sure that's right? Yeah, wouldn't that be good? Spurlock, I'll put another split for you for that service.
Yeah, do it. Like it's Podcast Sanity Service.
PSS. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
it should be Podcast Monitoring Service. Then we could call it PMS.
That would sell well.
apologies for getting everybody into the board meeting earlier. Hello, board meeting. We see you there. My issue, Tina and I are flying up to Frisco, Texas today. Mm-hmm. We have been invited to some kind of cool dinner with all kinds of crazy people, including Charlie Kirk, General Flynn, neighbor Laura Logan.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord is right. It's going to be a hootenanny. So we're like, you know, and I was like, we actually can't turn this down. We've got to go. It's just too funny. So
You have to go. What's one of those things you got to go to just because, like, you need to be able to say that you went? Like,
yeah, exactly. Apparently, there's 500 people there. So I have no idea. I mean, there's someone bought a table, our friends, and it's like, oh, you should join us. And, well, there you go.
Yeah, that's just show material.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm flying up myself. We got instructor Ed bringing in the Cirrus G6 Turbo with parachute. I always have to add with parachute, so Tina feels better about it. She hates flying in these things.
I hate flying, period.
I love it.
I mean, 100% hate it. I just do not like anything about flying. I never have. It just makes me... I don't know. I don't like the experience of setting it up where you're like the boarding, the ticketing, the waiting if you're going to get delayed or canceled.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. In fact, if I can fly direct within the United States, I'd rather not fly than have to transfer somewhere. And if it's under 700 miles, I'll fly myself. Because it's just faster. It's just faster. You know, the airport is 5 minutes from our house. The way this flight school is set up, I'm technically a student, which I am. And so $65 an hour for the instructor. And he does the radio up in that busy area. Because if you don't practice enough and you're up in the Dallas area and you go, on the radio... Immediately, it's like, okay, why don't you fly 30 minutes that way? We'll talk to you later.
So if you're not like, I'm like, you're like the soup guy from Seinfeld or whatever.
Yeah, no soup for you. Yeah. no routing for you. No vectors for you.
You pause, you're toast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, Dave, for giving me some good advice.
Which is?
You advised me on a replacement laptop for the studio machine. As you know, I had that horrible blow up. Everything blew up. Everything crashed. Everything's all toast and gone and no good. And
did you get the one that that I recommended?
Yes, I got the Lenovo ThinkPad G3L13. I got the lighter one. The one that was lighter.
That weighed lighter only, and weight wise.
Yeah, okay. 2.4 pounds or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, what I've not done is I really was on the fence. Like, should I clone my studio drive and then clone it to that? I'm like, you know, because you said, well, it'd be easy. You just have to load the drivers from a USB for the network and then it all pops up. I'm like, no, I don't think so.
But you already see, okay, you already recently wiped and start this thing. You started from scratch like just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Right. So this is a relatively clean drive.
Yeah. Now
it's a recent build is what I'm saying. There's not a bunch of crapware and like 5 years of bloat on it.
No,
so but this is a clean clone, man.
I'm afraid. And also there's one other thing. I'm afraid, Dave. There's one other thing is that the studio machine has, let me see. The studio machine has a, hold on, let me go up to this PC, has a 256 gigabyte drive.
Okay, the one you're cloning from.
Yeah, and the one I'm cloning to has a terabyte. But then
yeah, no problem, no yeah, problem.
But then doesn't it show up as an extra drive instead of giving you all that extra free space?
No. Okay, so Your method here is download CloneZilla put it on a boot. Yeah. Put it on a USB drive with Rufus. Yeah. Then get a
Rufus and Shaka Khan.
Yes. Rufus Wainwright. That's the last name of the Rufus boot thing that nobody knows. You boot it with Rufus. You attach an external drive.
Yeah.
Some sort of like external USB drive. Boot it with CloneZilla.
Yeah.
Do a device to image clone.
Yeah.
Pointing it at your external drive that you plugged in.
Yes.
And then save it as an image file. Go to the new machine. Boot it with CloneZilla. Choose image to device. Then pick it off and it'll clone straight to that new drive. Then when you boot into Windows, what you'll see is a partition on Windows that does not fill the entire drive. And so what you'll do is you go into disk management and right click on that partition and say expand and it'll fill up the whole drive.
Oh, so scary. So scary. So what, scary.
You're scared.
I'm scared. I'm traumatized. Yes, correct.
You're scared of what you're scared of is that if you CloneZilla to this new machine, it's going to get you out of the factory install of this new machine in such a way that you're not going to be able to get back to anything
usable. Or that weird things are going to happen because it has all these bells and whistles that it's expecting to load. I don't know. So the question is, will the Dell drivers work on the Lenovo out of the box, or will I have to go and then download? Because I went to the download site for the Lenovo drivers and it says, this is out of date. This is unsupported. This is no good. You're a loser. And it's freaked me out.
You're some of the drivers will work. Most of them will not. And most likely the network driver will not work. So you'll go before you start this process or from a different machine, you'll go to the download page on Lenovo for the drivers for that machine, the new one, download the network card drivers, stick it on the CloneZilla flash drive. And then when you boot up the imaged machine on the Lenovo, first thing you do is install those network drivers. You'll get network running immediately. Then you'll go to that. Then you'll go to support.lenovo.com on that machine and install and let it just auto install all the other drivers.
It'll recognize it and just start doing that.
If you go to it in Chrome, it'll prompt you to install a little like a little stub app that will give an info. It's like a
you said stub and immediately I got chills up my spine.
It like prompts you. It's like, it's the Lenovo service bridge.
Oh, okay.
The LSB. You do that and it auto detects the machine. So here's all your drivers.
So Chrome being Edge?
No, not Edge. Chrome. For some reason, the Lenovo service bridge will not install. Okay,
so in not
Edge,
Brave either. Not Brave. It has to be Chrome.
No. This is.
See, these are things I wouldn't. This was not in your instruction manual.
Lenovo does not understand that anybody uses anything but Chrome. But yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Maybe when we get back from Frisco, I'll give it a shot.
The other thing to do is before you start, clonezilla the Lenovo to the external drive as well.
Oh, just in case.
Just in case, then you can revert. So when you clonezilla a big thing, it'll only use the space. If you tell it to, there's an option in there to say to only use the used space. So you may clone a terabyte drive, but the file, the image file it produces may only be, right, you know, 100 gigs.
Right, right, right. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, please don't do this until you get back.
No, the whole point of me asking you is so that if I run into trouble, I know I can ask you for help because you're like, oh, this is Lenovo. I deal with these every single day.
We clone hundreds of these.
Yeah. I have to say, I really like the keyboard on that machine. It's nice.
Lenovo's a good machine. At least
it still has the OG little rubber nub.
Yeah. And the Chiners make a nice machine.
Every Chiners. Hey, man. So last time we spoke was in this capacity was you were in Nashville and, you know, I got calls from radio guys. Saying, how did you do that? How did you do that remote? I said, well, we sent an advanced team out a week ago and they ordered all the lines and they set it all up and they tested.
Satellite truck,
tested the studio. We had Westwood One with to shoot the bird for us. I said, no, basically, I pulled up the fountain page from the venue and I pulled up Clean Feed and it all worked. And somehow Dave put someone in the bathroom and you know, shuffling people about. Yeah, you put Kyron in the bathroom. It was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it really is amazing. I just want us all to stop and realize. I mean, I come from a place of steam gauges in the airplanes and this kind of nonsense in, you know, and doing remotes. You literally had to get extra engineers. You had to, you know, schedule stuff and people and all kinds of things. And now we just like, oh, we just do it. And, doing Boostagram Ball Live was a blast, man. I had a good time doing that. Even though it included video, which is a little weird for me.
It kind of annoyed me a little bit because, I mean, this was nothing that, well, okay. So I finally met James and Julie Costello. Mm-hmm. And I guess Jim, I'm sorry, not James, Jim and Julie. Great. I mean, they're just like amazing people. They're so nice. And, just like nice and sincere people, you know, and, I just really enjoyed getting to meet them and all that. And then, so they were the ones putting on the bands at Bitcoin, but Jim's fault because they had to do a sound check before Just Loud came on. And he's so about, I don't know, about 10 minutes before, Boostagram Ball ended, Just Loud is just like killing it in the room. So we couldn't hear Boostagram Ball at all. Like the last 10 minutes, 10 or 15 minutes.
Just Loud is kind of like a Prince perfectionist type guy. He's got to have everything just right. You know? Yeah. I noticed
that. He brought his own sound guy. Bumped their sound guy.
Got to hand it to him. That's what you do.
Yeah.
So you couldn't hear the end of Boostagram Ball is what you're saying.
No, but that is fine. That's right. Just in-house.
How did it look? Because, you know, what I did was I put my MR list up on the screen. I had the split kit changing the album art. I had myself in a little window. Did that look at anything that was okay?
Yeah, it looked great. I mean, the screen, there's not a, it wasn't a good setup for a huge screen, but they had a decent size screen there. Like, it would have been cool if there was like a, it's like a sort of like a projector type thing with a bigger image.
Yeah.
But they had like a, they had a screen set up, the one that was showing the, like the leaderboard and all that.
Mm-hmm.
They had a big screen set up. And, so yeah, I walked over there and just was watching because I've never seen your MR list set up. So I was watching that. It was really cool.
Isn't it fun how that works when, and when I hit the song, the album art changes, you see the split kit go active and the boostograms coming mm-hmm. in and all that stuff.
Yeah, it was so cool. And, like Jim, man, Jim knows how to run a tight ship, man. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that he was getting, I mean, he was getting those artists on and off and sound checking. And I mean, like it went so smooth. There was only a couple of hitches, and one was, so right before, so it's two things happened. So on Friday, Herbivore was playing.
Mm-hmm.
So Herbivore was playing, and, they started with just a few people in the house. I mean, it was like, you know, maybe 20 people. By the end of their set, it, I mean, that place was wall to wall. I don't know how many people there was in that,
well, I thought they could hold 400, like 400. I thought they could have,
I guarantee you there was every bit of capacity in there.
Really?
I mean, it was, yes, it was a lot, which was awesome. But so half of, so about 15 minutes into their set, okay, Julie said room cap was 650. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard, really hard to tell, but I was having trouble kind of moving my way through the crowd. That's how many people there were. So about 15 minutes into the set, I guess, I tried to boost. So I boosted 50,000 sats. And then about a few minutes later, I tried to boost another 50 and it just, the page did nothing.
No.
And so I kept trying, thinking, you know, something. Wait, maybe it's a timing issue.
You boosted a million sats in total because you're just boosting and boosting? And
No. Well, let's talk about that, too, because this was an interesting setup, the way they had it rolling, the way Dovidas.
Well, we had about 18 different pages to look at, which was interesting by itself.
The way that it was in the concert, in the venue, was you had a, on the screen, you know, there's a QR code. You hit the QR code, it comes up to essentially a page where you can fill in the boostergram.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put in your message, how many sats, what your name is, all this kind of stuff. Just an HTML form. You do that, and it gives you a Bolt 11 invoice.
Mm-hmm.
You pay it. And then,
right.
So what
right. Which was kind of cool, by the way. That was kind of cool the way that worked.
Yeah. It was really neat because it generates the Bolt 11 in the background using an Albi wallet, and then pay and with all the details, all the TLV record details, and the splits recorded. Then you pay that invoice, and then the Albi wallet takes care of sending out all the different shares mm-hmm. to everybody. So mm-hmm. it's almost like a little bit like an escrow thing, but it worked awesome because you didn't have. You know, if you're in there and you're new and you don't even know anything about 2.0,
you could
still do it.
Scan the QR code, send your sats and did Dovidas set that up, the split forwarding system?
I'm not sure who, I thought he did. I think he did. But I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can correct me. I'm pretty sure he did. Yes, he did. Okay. So what happened was I went to send another 50,000 and it didn't work. So I was like, okay, well, I'll try 25. And then 25 worked. Mm. So I'm like, okay, mm. Was there some kind of limit or something? So then I
sent 100,000 sats at one point. So I saw it working at that level.
And then I realized what was happening. There was some sort of limit because it would only work if you sent progressively smaller and smaller boosts.
Mm.
And so what had happened was, The Albi wallet that this stuff was tied to on the back end
was choking.
Had a 24-hour sat limit on it.
Ugh.
You could only do so many transactions.
Oh.
It was like 2 million or something. or 1 million.
That's like trying to thinking you have a T1 and you're actually on a 56K dial up.
Yeah. And so WDOT, I'm like, hey, WDOT, this thing's acting like something's weird. So he put in some logging, saw the code saying that there was a limit, and then so either when it switched over to his own personal Albi wallet as the escrow wallet, and everything started working again.
Okay.
That happened on Friday. Then on Saturday, getting ready for Booster Grand Ball, the live socket for the wallet switching, it would not, it was rejecting the attempts to connect to it from that site because of cores.
Of course that happened. Yes, of course.
Yes, of course. And so then we're like, okay, we're trying to get in touch with Stephen B, and we're getting, Stephen's had radio silence going on. So we were like, well, okay, crap. So I took the chat.podcastindex.org, which is like in limbo and never used anymore. I took that and set up an Nginx reverse proxy on it to basically proxy this WebSocket from Dovidas's site.
Oh man.
To Stephen B's.
Oh wow. Site, awesome.
WebSocket. And it worked like a charm, man. I mean, it was crazy. So we solved that one like right in the nick of time.
You did a reverse proxy? That's what you did?
Reverse proxy using Nginx. Yeah. It can, Nginx can reverse proxy a WebSocket connection.
Yeah. That's what you do when you're behind a NAT firewall. You also can do reverse proxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same thing?
No, this is a little different because what a lot of people do is they'll have a web application running on localhost on like, let's just say port 8888.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll set up an Nginx reverse proxy in front of it. So running on 443 and 80, and then you'll take all the incoming connections and then just send them to localhost. You're sort of brokering the connection back and forth.
Right.
And that's so you can protect your application using a proper web application firewall. But it'll also, Nginx will also do the exact same thing with WebSockets, not just HTTP. So we just use that. Came in clutch on that.
Nice.
Anyway, it was fun. It was fun just sort of like seeing all that and seeing what the real world problems are and solving them. It was really great.
I can tell you that for Booster Grand Ball, from the 27th until what's the last entry here, July 30th, because there's been no more boost since then. 1,184,464 sats to the artists.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Now, I have no idea. I guess that was added to the total.
Ooh, I don't
know. That's a good question. I mean, I put a split in there for RSS Blue, so that Dovidas could set it up on his thing. So I don't know. I have no idea.
Julie said in the boardroom, she said no, that wasn't added to the total.
Okay, let me give that total again. 1,184,464. Not bad, people.
I feel like my rough sort of like guesstimate was somewhere around $3,500, I think, went through the system total. That's just kind of the way I felt it was going.
Mm-hmm.
That's adding together Vinyl Lounge, Bands at Bitcoin, all 3 days, Booster Grand Ball. I mean, all of it.
So cool. The whole thing was great. And did we sign up new artists? Did new people come on board? Were people interested? I mean, what was the general vibe in the house?
I mean, I don't know about that part. I don't know about the artist part, but I know there was a lot of people there there's a lot of people there with like names I recognized and some that I didn't. They felt new to me, whether they're actually new or not. I don't know.
But now all those zaps, they also went through the Dovidas system and then were transmogrified into splits?
All the ones that came from the venue itself or from the live stream webpage.
Okay.
The ones that can't, and then you, of course, got to add to those, the ones that went through the Podcasting 2.0 apps directly. If you were listening live on Podcast Guru or Fountain or something like that, those were different.
But that's very valuable if we can ever make that work without it being a money transmitter, which of course I think it always will be. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it shouldn't be, you know.
No, but yeah, you don't know. And unfortunately, though, because I was looking at the, I was bouncing back and forth. I watched a lot on Podcast Guru, which just does video, just does video fine. And I think I popped in for a second to check out True Fans and, a lot of my, you know, my main screen was the Fountain screen. And, I tried to get the Noster chat working, but I never could. I mean, I have the Noster extension and all that. I just couldn't get it to work. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it.
I got mine to work, but it was not my, I had to log in to Fountain to get it to work. Like I couldn't get it with just the extension, but I did. Then it's not my
right,
normal
it's just,
ID.
You're just some rando.
Rando, yes. A plebe.
But you know, for me, it really showed once again that, and I have no idea of how many people were watching or how many, you know, streams we generated. I have no idea. I don't think anyone has any idea, nor does it really matter because, you know, Music Mama says 6 million sats total. So that's pretty good. Six sats. Yeah, about $3,700, I guess. Just quick back of the napkin.
Yeah, that was my thought too.
That makes sense. You know, I was listening today. I heard was it Pod News that Patreon, they say they paid out. So I'm not sure. It was like podcasters made. I don't know if that means that's what they made or that was the payout, or I'm going to think it was the total number before Patreon's cut, etc. $350 million last year. I mean, it's a version of value for value. I don't like it, but it's a version of people supporting podcasts with the value they feel is appropriate for whatever value they're receiving. And this really tells me something. You know, that's where the money is. I'm not saying Patreon, but getting people to support you directly.
I saw that story too. Was it? Did they give a count of how many podcasters that included?
So. I don't think so. No.
I thought they did.
And I got to wonder, maybe. I
thought it was like 40,000 or something.
Really?
I thought so.
That's good. Let me see. Let me see the most recent Pod News. Here we go. Patreon. Let me see. I don't see it in the... 40,000 podcasters are earning income on Patreon as they build and grow their business.
So it said they paid out $350 million to podcasters, but then it says 40,000 creators are earning... It's like, you know...
Yeah, that's sketchy. That's sketchy. That's sketchy.
I don't know what any of that means.
Yeah, I find that sketchy.
Because if you just do that math, which I don't... is obviously, not right... you're talking about like $9,000 per podcaster.
That's a lot.
That seems high to
me. Well, there's going to be a few who make a lot more. That's the way it always is.
Skewed to the top. Yeah. And I want to talk about that too. And talk like with ad skipping and downloads and all that kind of stuff.
Why don't you take it away?
Well, I did bring a PowerPoint, but
let me turn on screen sharing for you, Dave.
But I did want to follow up though and say, like I did meet a lot of great people in Nashville. It was awesome to see people's faces. You know, you talk to people for years online and through chats and forums and such, but you see their face and you talk to them for 5 minutes and it's like you've known them forever. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You finally have a real sense of who the person is. And it was great. I mean, there's so many, Eric PP and Macintosh and Dirty Jersey Whore and,
Dovey Doss.
Indovidas.
And the Costellos, you know, Costello Incorporated. Costellos,
Oscar and Nick from Fountain. Zach from Indie Hub, Michael and Sam from Wave Lake. Roy and Tim K were there. There was just so many people. And of course, Kyron. So I split an Airbnb with Kyron over there. And then he rode back with me to Birmingham Saturday night.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He rode back with me cause he was flying out of Birmingham on Sunday morning. So he just rode back with me and crashed on my couch Saturday night. And then I took him to the airport Sunday morning. And Kyron's just a beautiful person. I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's so great.
You don't have a guest room in that palace of yours?
We do, but it doesn't have a bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, boost for Dave's bed.
Tiny Tim can't afford a bed. On the way back, we had to stop and, I gave him the full, because he's never been to the U.S. before. This is his first trip to the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So I had to give him the full Southeast experience. So we stopped at Bucky's.
That's an experience. All right.
Filled up the tank and bought some nuts, some Bucky's nuts.
Oh, goodness. And,
this is what we're going to send you home with as your first United States experience is Bucky's. Beaver nuggets.
Oh, man. That's too funny.
Yeah. Exactly what I was hoping for. Wall-to-wall fat people. So that's
on electric carts.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful.
Anyway, it was great. I've been watching this and I think, we got so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start.
Well, you had a lot to talk about in the last show, which we didn't get to. So I'm just leaving it up to you. I mean, the only thing obviously I'm still anticipating and excited about is Oscar's demo of the Bolt 11, of the new Bolt 11 system that we're hoping to implement.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he'll get his Strike API stuff sorted out.
I'm trying to resist jumping in to do that because I've got this Laravel side project that I'm working on.
No, he said he was going to do it.
Yeah, but he's having trouble with his account thing.
Well, he can use my account. Does he want an account? You can use my account. I'll give him my account. If that's the problem.
I detached mine from the Mint.
Yeah.
I didn't detach it from the Mint, but I turned the Mint off. By the way, if you still have funds on the Mint, I mean, you're talking about like three people. If you have funds on the Mint, just tell me. I'll send it back to you. Because it's deactivated right now. It's not running.
Dave Fed Jones.
Yes, I ran to Mexico with your money.
So I saw that Breeze implemented Liquid. Do you know anything about Liquid at all? It seems like, you know, the marketing of it is, well, here's another way to do Lightning, and it's much easier, but it's not really yours. And is that something we even want to look at?
I talked to Roy about it a little bit. And he said it would work, but I don't know. Roy was so down. He was in we're all screwed mode.
Oh yeah, because he read the 8,000 word Whitney Webb article. I'm like, bro, calm down a little bit. I mean, you know, Whitney Webb. Okay, sure. She's with her. Everything leads back to Epstein. It's like everything is Mossad, blackmailing you for weird sex you have. It's like, hey, calm down now. But he had a long chat with him over a Signal. And he's like, they're dollarizing everything. I'm like, well, you know, is it all really a bad thing? I mean, we still determine what we want to do with Bitcoin. I mean, if if Senator Loomis thinks that, you know, that it's a good idea to stack sats and over time pay off our national debt. Okay. I mean, I don't see that as necessarily wrong. What the problem I do see is the stablecoin play. I mean, that it became very clear to me when I heard President Trump talking about stablecoin. Oh, stablecoins. Not stablecoins. Stablecoins. You know what stablecoins are? I mean, that's your money printing right there. You know, they're the guys buying all the short-term treasury paper.
Have you seen how much this is a deep cut here, but have you seen how many treasuries are owned by Tether?
That's my point. It's outrageous.
They're like the size of a country.
Yeah. You know, they're soaking it all up. And at a certain point, people are going to be like, well, is that thing really secure? That stable coin, that Tether thing? Or you want to add Bitcoin in there?
It's kind of terrifying. Really, if you think about it, it's kind of scary to think that a private company owns that much U.S. Treasury bonds.
Yeah.
That's well, kind of freaky.
Make no mistake, Trump understands macroeconomics. He really does. And so when I heard him say, this is like the new steel, this is like oil, what are you drinking?
Oh, crap. Yeah. This is Waterloo lemon lime.
Oh, that's good. Yes, Waterloo is good. Yes, it has quote-unquote natural flavors. Don't worry. It's all natural. Yes,
it's all natural.
You know, when I heard him go, I'm like, yeah, you know, he sees it for what it is, and it is. I mean, that was a great, what Bitcoin did that Peter McCormick did with some dudes who sound like they know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. I was just like, well, you know, look, for sure, Bitcoin is doing something. Yes, because people are showing up for it, so it can't just be for the Bitcoiners who are out there. It's got to be for more, you know.
It's not just for the loud music.
No.
Well, anyway. I guess kind of on that note a little bit before I get into this ad thing. The Bitcoin conference itself, those people are tone deaf, man. They don't. You had this giant usage going on right outside your doors.
Oh yeah, yeah. This bugs me too.
And of lightning and like real. This is the realest of real world scenarios of actually using Bitcoin to transfer money. Without intermediate. I mean, this is everything they talk about.
Yeah.
And because nobody was paying for a session.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
For a stage, not a single mention of it.
No. And if they even know about it, they all think it's either only Noster or only Fountain. Because no one actually does any investigation. I know it's what it is.
They're so concerned about getting politicians to speak and big financial players that they completely just ignore every bit of like ground boots on the ground.
Yeah, well they are they're a conference organizer. You know, that's what you do. Mm-hmm. I was looking. Someone Eric Pepper. Sent me every back issue of Wired going back to 2000 through the mail.
Weird.
Very. very. And in like 2006, I don't have it in front of me, there was this, the new music business, it's all going to change. It's all going to be fantastic. Yeah, you got your own audiences. And this is before Spotify and all that stuff. And in general, nothing in Wired magazine ever plays out.
Never.
None of it.
Never.
None of it. It's amazing. They had it even 2002. AI, same promises in 2002. We have 22 years later. None of it's happening. So, except we got chatbots.
Alex sent me this thing. Twitch is doing like a DJ streaming thing. Did you see this?
Yeah, I looked into that. What a bunch of hooey. So well, only, like, yeah.
The subsidy program.
I don't know about what's the subsidy program.
Well, it seems the best we could figure out was it seems like what's going to happen. So they're available. It's kind of like TikTok. It reads this way, where anybody on the platform can stream licensed music. And if you actually make money from it, then they're going to start to do a rev share labels.
No, I looked at this. Okay. So it's only music that they have licensed for you to play. It's not like you can just take any music and start playing it. So it's only from the library they make available. But I don't know how much that is or how limited it is. That depends on what they got the blanket license for. Live only, so you can't record it. You can't go back and look at one. It can only be in live streaming. That's how they're doing it, because that fits under the auspices of, you know, certain licenses that are kind of already out there and available. Mm-hmm. And the monetization, it runs all through them. And so they have something called bits, which is like you get a bit for someone who signs up. You get, if someone signs up to the Twitch, you know, Gaming Supreme service, then you get some money for that, and it's different per country. And they give the revenue. I don't even know if you get an accounting of it. They give revenue to the labels before you even see it, and it's not like a rev share. Trust me, it's not a rev share.
But it's a rev share in reverse, because you get to share some of the revenue.
Yes,
the other way around.
Exactly. You get some, and they literally call them bits. Here's a bit for you. Oh, thanks. I got a bit. It's dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb.
Well,
I think it's dumb. Whatever. It's fine. There's been enough about the Twitch payouts that's been, you know, has been chopped in half, and there's all kinds of stuff going on there. And you're beholden to a company that can kick you off in a heartbeat. You know, if you do too much of one artist, if you can't be like a jukebox, so you can't take requests. I mean, all kinds of stuff you can't do.
That gets me something we need to talk about. Let's do namespace real quick.
Let's do namespace.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Yeah. It's been a while, but we're back in the saddle.
So the thing I did last night was added the content link tag to be also a child of the item tag. So before it was only used as it was only possible to add the podcast colon content link tag to a podcast colon live item tag. Now you can add it to a normal item as well.
Oh, okay.
So, this is really just, you know, the content link is there to allow you to link out to external content that's outside of the app. So like a YouTube link or something like that. So that's going to solve some problems, like for Todd with his alternate enclosure troubles, and that kind of thing. And also Nathan has a lot of use cases for it for, episodes.fm. The one I'm looking at now is a podcast colon follow.
Yes.
And we can talk. I'm probably talk more about that next week. The licenses. Like, I feel like we need to talk about this, because I want to get that tied up. Hopefully this weekend.
Okay.
Is the music license? So I'm trying to understand where we are on that. Is there a podcast license and a music license?
Well, here's my understanding. My understanding is that the Costellos have worked on, and I think they did a lot of it with Sam Sethi, on what they're calling a music license. And I'm fine with that, but I would really, maybe you can do two. I mean, copy it and then call it a remote license or whatever, because just calling it a music license, you're setting yourself up for trouble. Because there is no difference between an MP3 that's a song, an MP3 that's a that's a mix, an MP3 that's another piece of a podcast, and you know, remote items can be all kinds of things. So I personally feel we should call it, you know, remote item or, you know, something of, and not limit it to music. But if people want to call it music, I'm fine with it. I haven't seen the final, but I'm sure I'm going to be fine with it because we went through enough iterations of it.
Wherever this thing, so this, the music license is sort of like a, it's sort of like a unicorn. I've heard that it exists, but I've never actually seen it in the wild. So if Julie or Sam or somebody can like send me a blurry photo of the unicorn, I'll
see it. Along with Bigfoot and we're good to go.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If somebody can send me a blurry image of this thing, I will put it into the namespace. And also, is there also a podcast license? I think we're talking the same thing, maybe.
I don't know.
Okay. I've stayed out of some of this discussion because it's outside my lane and let other people deal with it. So what I've seen referenced is a music license, a podcast license, and a V for V license.
Right.
But I don't know which ones of those are separate entities or are they the same thing? I don't know.
Okay. Well, we have Music Mama on the back bench in the boardroom. She says we're consolidating and we just need it to be a name. And I personally really like the V for V license because that's what it is. I mean, you're sharing value back to someone whose content you used in a value enabled situation. Now, if in the colloquial language that's called a V for V music license, that's fine. And by the way, I'm not a jihadist about it. I'm just saying it makes it so much easier just to have a V for V license and whatever it is, whatever that remote item is, it's the value flows through to it through the splits that are generated by the remote item.
Okay.
And Music Mama says she thinks that we settled on V for V. So
okay, Julie, send me what you got, and I will get everything. Because what I did was I went through and took out, you know, that entire long list of open source licenses.
Yeah,
it's like 300. I took all that out and put it back in, put only back in the Creative Commons licenses, and then whatever this new thing is going to be. And so it's just a short list, and that list will seed podcast hosting company UIs and you know, like Castapod UIs. Anybody who needs access to this license can just can base their drop down list off of this, and you can just pick and choose. So I could, if you'll send me what you got, Julie, I'll make that happen this weekend.
Okay. Excellent. Good.
And if it's not right, if we figure out something's wrong.
Yeah, we can change it.
Yeah, we can change it just like, you know, this is a 1.0, V for V license 1.0, and we'll change it to a 1.1 or something like that.
Yep. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. I think, is that all I did with the...
That's all you did with the namespace?
Well, for some reason, the phase 7 has been a real humongous pain in the butt.
We've been busy. It's been summer.
Yeah, it's been kind of busy, but it's also been like these things are, some of these things are like have required a lot of legwork. You know, like the licensing thing is just, people have to do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And then the keys, like the key send address.
Right.
Lightning address thing. That took a few weeks.
That took a while. Yeah.
Of going back and forth and trying to just figure out, I mean, in Zoom meetings and stuff like these are just kind of like annoying. This is the annoying phase. So if we can get through this one, I think
Sam just boosted in with 1,000 sats. As we call it the podcast license, but we'll rename it to V for V license so we can include clips in the future. Yes. Good.
Okay. That makes good. Okay. Perfect. That all makes sense.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay, cool. Send me things.
Yes.
I need those things.
Send your things, people. Send your things. Yeah.
Because what's left on the list is, let's see, what have we done already? We've added the, okay, so phase 7, we've added the publisher medium and publisher feeds. Those are a thing now.
Excellent.
Let's see, chat. We added the chat tag. You know what? I think category. This is starting to feel like such a big phase.
Because we had categories and tags as categories, if I recall.
Yeah, and I know we need that really bad. I'm just, man, that's a lot. I think we're almost there. I hate to just keep this thing going forever. I'm going to have to think about that. I'm going to have to think about it because I think we kind of know what to do. Mm. I feel like, here's what it is. I feel like phase 8 is going to be just categories or tags. And
which is going to be a big one. That's not an easy one to do.
And if you mess it up, it's bad.
Yes.
So
want to move that to 8.
I feel like we're going to need to, and I know that it's a huge pain in the butt. I mean, cause for music, especially, we really need some categories,
yeah,
genres, tags, whatever you want to call them. But I feel like we just need to wrap this other thing up. It's getting lost in that shuffle. And I would say, phase 8 really almost needs to just be nothing but that.
Yeah.
So we can all focus on the one thing. Yeah. Film. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cotton Gin. I think you just need to be on all phase. And Eric's right. Film. Cause we talk, you know, cause Indie Hub, they're sort of like the wave lake for video. If you want to think of them like that.
Yep.
They've started rolling out RSS feeds.
Oh, cool. I was wondering how that was going.
Yeah. I was working with Zach and Dante on the back end for the last month or so
excellent.
Because they didn't know how to do HLS or any of that stuff. And they've got all that working now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So they're going to need categories as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. The genres. So anyway, I think we just need to put that in phase 8. I'm just going to bump it.
Okay.
We added the courses medium. I've still got to. And Alex went and made the proper updates to Podping. I just got to roll it to production.
I just wanted to respond. I haven't listened to all of it. I just listened to a little bit of Pod News Weekly review. And I just want to express my feelings. So they were talking about audiobooks. And I truly believe audiobooks can work value for value.
I do too.
I think you can start off each chapter with your pitch. I mean, there's all ways to do it. I firmly believe in that. But I do not believe, and I just want to say it, so I know Sam's listening. I just want to say, streaming sats micropayments is not a model. It's, you know, pay as you go is not a model. In fact, we just talked about this 1 or 2 weeks ago. So if I could do away with it, I'd be fine with that too, because it confuses people. Value for value is a philosophy, and it only works if you ask, if you receive, and if you thank, which is something that can be done even dynamically. You can thank people, you know, at the beginning of a new chapter. There's all kinds of things that can be done. I don't have a book to do, but man, I can see how it would be done. And I believe in it. I really do. I think it will work quite well. But there's this misconception, and I do not believe that you can say, well, pay as you go, fill up your wallet and pay for stuff you consume. That's not how it will never work that way.
What do you mean? What? Why not?
People will not move to that. There's no evidence that people will move to a model of I'm going to pay as I go. I just don't believe it. You need the value for value concept needs to come from an ask and from a gratitude. It can't just be I'm throwing this stuff up and you should use this app and pay me. It's just there's no reason for it to work. So saying instead of a subscription or a paywall model. Everyone just streams for what they use. No, it won't work. Go ahead and try. I'm happy to be proven wrong, but I don't think it'll work. People set value because they understand the pitch. They understand what it's about. They understand what they're supporting. It's not like everything I use, everything I view on the web now, I'll pay one sat per page. No, people aren't like that. That's not how it works. People want stuff for free. I was listening to my stepdaughter, still with us. She's 20, she'll be 28 in January, 27. And she was talking about, she has a friend in New York, and he turned her on to open source book readers. He says, open source is great. I get all these books for free. I said, no, what you're doing is you are using an open source program, which people worked on, which you don't recognize how many people worked on that, to steal content from some other system that basically got cracked.
Yes.
And I said, that is not open source and that is not okay. And I say, I'm only going to say this once. And people all the time say, hey, you can hook into my Plex library, get everything for free. I'm like, no, thank you. I pay for my content. One way or the other, I pay for my content.
It's just different versions of Usenet in 1999, downloading TV show episodes.
Yes.
You know, or movies.
Yes.
You know, it's not any different than that. I mean, it's not. I think I understand what you're saying about you're just saying that that if the ask is not there, then that's the problem.
Yes. The because ask, and you got to explain yourself too. You got to explain how it works, what you're doing.
Right. It's the stream, because the first thing I thought when you said that was, well, I stream sets to shows all the time. And don't boost. I mean, I stream as I'm listening, but it's because they ask.
Yes.
Yeah, because like the shows I do that for are shows that Coda Radio, Pod News, Weekly Review.
I mean, I stream to shows Scott that I really care show. About. 200 sats a minute, standard fare. I don't care what the Bitcoin price is. It's just 200 sats a minute. But it's like, you know, if saying micropayments will work, it's like saying, okay, so every person who walks by the guy playing in the subway is guaranteed to put money into the jar. No.
Well, I think the reason true fans is not on the audiobooks. I'm not thinking about the audiobooks right now. I'm thinking about something like True Fans or Fountain. Is because they're sort of interceding and doing the ask to a certain degree on behalf of the podcaster.
Agreed.
There's an ask that's being overlaid on top of a podcaster who's not doing the ask.
Agreed.
So that it's like that works to a degree, but then but at some point the podcaster themselves really needs to integrate the feedback loop, or else that you just don't get very far. Look, at least that's the way it seems to me.
Yeah, Sam is boosting away like crazy. Look, the bottom line is, if you can make it work, I'm happy for you to make it work. But now you've become a platform, and you're a platform where people come to your platform to do things in a certain way. And that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, the platform, like in the case of True Fans and Fountain, the platform is the ask.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they're they're standard compliant with the open protocols, and that peer-to-peer payments and that kind of thing. So the platform becomes the ask because there's so many people that are just not asking.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you can create, and I think that's Sam's vision, which is okay, but it's not value for value. It's he keeps talking about a micro payments model. Okay. The reason why there's no micropayments model is because it won't work, in my humble opinion. I've been doing value for value for a long time. It's tough. It's tough, and it's a roller coaster, and you got to keep reminding people. I'll just keep saying it. You got to keep reminding people that this is how it works. I've seen Dvorak set up a publishing company, and he published his wife's book, Too Many Eggs. Too many eggs.com. And this is, and by the way, it won an award at the Book Publishers Fair or something in California, best cooking book. And the book itself, which is not a cheap book, is like 60 or 70 bucks, I think. And it's a huge hardcover book. It's an amazing production, but they give away the PDF for free. And it's some astronomical percentage, like 85% of people who download the PDF for free buy the book.
Yeah.
And they just say it's value for value. Here, you can take it, use it whatever you want, but people like it so much and they appreciate the work. They come back and then boom, they buy the book.
You know, a very early version of this was the Mises Institute. They were doing this in like 1999.
Mm-hmm.
So what they did, and they're located down here in Auburn, Alabama. They would go to all this trouble to find these old books. Let's just say an old book by Bombavrick or Adam Smith, or like these old works that had like complicated copyright that's hard to track. And mm-hmm. they would do a lot of legwork to find these, to track down the who's the right current rights holder, get the appropriate permissions and all this kind of stuff, which it's a lot of work. And they would get all that sorted out, and then they would make available, they would always do two versions. They would do an ebook version that was free to download from their website, and they would do a hardcover print copy that you could order from their store. And the same thing, tons of people downloaded the PDFs and the ebooks, but they always had tons of sales on the store.
Here's the pitch. It's actually $48 for the hardcover. So they have hardcover, $48, buy hardcover, and then they have PDF, download free PDF, $0. And it says underneath that, price should not be a barrier to knowledge access, which is why we're providing you the PDF version of this book free to download. Donations to support this effort provide free ebooks are welcome and appreciated. You can donate via PayPal or send checks. And I know that they did good money on it. I don't know exactly what, but I know that they're going to do more books because this model works. And that is a pure value for value model with an extra twist.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm just saying, I believe in audiobooks. I really do. I believe they'll work. And there's many ways to do it, but it's scary. It's scary. I'm going to be the first to admit value for value is scary.
So that goes over into this, I just want to talk about ad skipping, you know, because that's kind of a big deal right now.
Yeah, I haven't really followed that closely, but.
Well,
yeah.
Which is, it's the whole thing's funny. So there's this new app, you know, app came out that's.
You know, I heard this. This sounds like a kid who has never even looked at podcasting, really.
I did not hear the interview.
Oh, I did. He's like. Yeah, you know, people should be able to support podcasters directly. They shouldn't have to take ads. Oh, welcome.
Yeah. But I mean, ad load is a huge deal. Like it's becoming more of a problem to the point where, you know, it's gotten bad enough to where things like this are going to start to be a thing. And you know, there's always this ethics issue that comes up around this, but so I had a couple of thoughts. If you're down.
Sorry. Someone.
If you're downloading. Okay, this goes back to the beginning of podcasting. Trying to figure out how to sort my thoughts here. Podcast apps should always, in my opinion, podcast apps should always download the episode before playing it. I think what Marco did on the recent release of Overcast is exactly the correct thing to do. At some point in the game when bandwidth got faster, podcast apps started to merge in. I don't know if it was Stitcher or who was the first to do it, but they started to merge in this concept. So you'd either have a download or a stream.
Yeah.
And the download, like downloading is what podcasting was supposed to be. It was supposed to download it ahead of time so that you could listen to it later.
Yeah, it was done at the time for bandwidth constraints.
For bandwidth constraints. But that is the birthright of podcasting.
Birthright! It
is downloading the episode and then for later playback. Now, whether that playback, whether that quote later playback is like 3 seconds later or 3 days later is sort of irrelevant. The streaming started to creep its way into podcast apps, you know, a few years into podcasting, and everything just got super messy.
Yeah.
But that's why to this day, the download, quote unquote, is still the metric by which podcasting is measured. They're measured by downloads because that's been the assumption from the beginning, is that there's going to be a download, whether it's a full download, a partial, whatever. The download is still the flag that we all plant on. So the, you know, ad skipping to me is almost irrelevant, because if you're downloading the episode ahead of time, from the advertiser's standpoint, the ad's been delivered, and you're never going to know if they actually listen to it or not, because you can't. There's no such thing as playback metrics on anything other than Apple Podcasts
and YouTube.
And nobody reports that. They just report download metrics.
Yeah.
IAB compliant download metrics.
Mm-hmm.
So if I don't even see where ad skipping is, I don't see the ethics of this, because downloaded episodes become opaque to the advertisers anyway. So to me, this is all like that. That whole thing is just, it's kind of like a non.
Well, also,
I mean, excuse me, a non sequitur.
Yeah. You know, and this is, and I'll concede to this. If you're going to have speed enhancers, audio enhancers, if you're going to, you know, once you've downloaded the episode and you're changing it to listen to it the way you want to listen to it, it's fair game.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't remember what app had it. I don't know if it's still, there was an app at some point that you could say, okay, for the Joe Rogan podcast, start it at 3 minutes and 50 seconds into the episode, because that skips the ads.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't remember.
Castomatic does that.
Okay. So it's like, yeah, Ben, if we're all going to be fine with transmogrifying my beautifully produced audio into something that's faster or that has enhanced sound capabilities, which is really what Marco started with, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I have to be okay with that. Even though I think it's bad for your brain, that's the main thing. It's like, why you do that? Why would you run past the Mona Lisa?
Well, I've never.
Such beautiful art. But okay, if that's how you, you know, some people throw paint on the Mona Lisa, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, or soup.
Yes. Yeah, that's fine. But then, yeah, ad skipping is, and I don't think there's any ethics to it at all. And I thank you for saying it's the birthright. Because what is always thrown back is, well, you know, advertising supports this industry. It's not an industry. That's your industry.
Yeah.
That's not podcasting. Podcasting is not an industry. Value for value is not an industry. It's a thing. It's just a thing.
Which leads me to sort of an idea is, why can't apps? So we have this idea that you're going to have the download is the heart and soul of the metric. Why could you not, as an app, send a head request for that enclosure after the fact, when somebody hits a hits play, the first time they hit play on the episode, you just send an HTTP head request with a parameter.
Oh, that's like a ping, like it was played. Like, hey, I played it.
Or a header. Something in there, either a header or a URL parameter that says this was played. Playback begin.
Right. I can tell you right now that no one in the advertising business wants that.
Right, but I'm sure.
You know why.
Yes, exactly. Because they don't actually want to know how many people played it. They want downloads because the download number is always way bigger.
Correct.
Yes. But that would be something that apps could provide if they wanted a playback, a true playback number. Mm-hmm. And that would be not, it would not be bandwidth intensive. It would just be a very simple thing. I guess I started thinking about all this in context of, I saw the ad rates. James reported the advertising CPMs from AdvertiseCast or Lips and Ads or whatever they call it now. Mm-hmm. And I'm combining this in the back of my mind for months now. There's been this, if you look at the total number of shows that have published an episode, if you look at that stat, over time, it has just been slowly eroding. Mm-hmm. Not massively.
No, a couple points.
Yeah, one or two percentage points, you know, a month. It's just been slow, just this ever so gradual decline. It's not catastrophic or anything like that, but it has been a slow erosion of the total number of shows publishing an episode. And it's that metric is sort of misleading on its own. Because for a long time, free podcast hosts like Spotify for Podcasters, which used to be called Anchor. There's others that do this, but Anchor is the worst offender. For so long, those free hosts just pumped out hundreds of new episodes a week from people just screwing around.
Yeah, which is why Spotify in their quarterly report claimed 6 million podcasts. Okay,
yeah,
technically, exactly. Sure.
And I stopped auto-ingesting Anchor podcast feeds and Spotify for Podcaster feeds into the index like a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And without that noise in the stats, you see a more accurate picture of how many shows are actually publishing. And so that number has been gradually declining.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is because if you look at the rates that were that James published the other day, it says for July of 2024, the average CPM for a 60-second spot was $21.90. Okay, so if you go, luckily, I save all my old emails. So I looked back from May of 22, so almost exactly 2 years ago, the average CPM in Lips and Ads was $23.77. So you've had the CPM has fallen by $2 per thousand. Over 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And you're not taking inflation and all that into account.
That's what I was about to say.
Devaluation of the money.
You've had an 8% drop in CPM and about a 17% rise in inflation.
Yeah.
Over 2 years. One reason the podcast ad market hasn't tanked yet is because advertisers, they're getting a bang up deal. You know, they are. I mean, their prices over their cost over time for ads is going down.
Yeah.
But it sucks for podcasters.
Yeah.
For ad supported podcasters, it hits the lower middle class of podcasting the hardest.
Like just like the real economy.
Yeah. Thanks, Fed. So, I mean, like a show with a let's see. was a show, like a show with, it's got a hundred, like 100,000 downloads a month. That would be $2,300, right? 100 times 23 per thousand. So that's $2,300. So in 2022, if you had 100,000 downloads
for one
a month,
ad, for one ad,
for one ad, yes, for one ad, for one 60-second ad. And a lot of shows only have one ad. So you had 100,000 downloads. You're bringing in $2,300 for the month. That's 100,000 downloads over a month, and that's a decent sized show.
That's No Agenda level. No, I'm sorry. That's per episode. No, it's a tenth of No Agenda. So yeah, right. Okay, got it.
Still a very decent sized show.
Yeah.
So in 2022, it was bringing in $2,300. That same show with the same download metrics in 2024 is bringing in $2,100. They're making $200 less.
Yeah.
So that show, let's say that show is like a 90-minute a week podcast. Mm-hmm. Maybe you were paying, maybe you're paying somebody like $100 a show to edit it. You're not good at editing, so you pay an editor to clean up your audio and stuff, like $100 per episode. Now, 2024, same guy's charging $150 an episode because of inflation. So your costs went up $200 a month and your income went down $200 a month. You took a 20% hit.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't do so many episodes.
Yeah.
Or maybe you go get a part-time job. I mean, like there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of erosion going on here. And then that's one explanation. Another one is, in some cases, it might be the rates that came, the rates had to come down to sell, like in order to sell ads. You know, we know that's happening, but let's say another scenario is a big advertiser that used to buy 75 shows in a particular sector like tech. Now they're only buying 50 of the biggest ones, the 50 biggest ones. Well, to save costs, if that advertiser, if those 25 smaller shows, they may have been the only advertiser for that show and 100% responsible for 100% of that income. So now you got 25 shows that have just been cut loose and they're going, maybe 6 months goes by and they can't find another advertiser. They're just going to, they may give up. They just give up.
Well, if you're coming into podcasting to make money, I advise you find a lawn mowing gig. That's better. Seriously. I mean, and advertising ultimately always leads to censorship. It's not self-censorship. We've got GARM now. GARM is, even Twitter has signed up to GARM. You're not going to be brand safe. It's like, bah. It's okay. Fine. There are lots of products and companies out there that are happy to support you if you you do an in-show read and talk about how much you love the product, you know, which you'll have to be convincing and give a code. Bongino, code Bongino. You know, that's, I believe in that stuff, but we're talking about DAI and it's a scourge. It's a scourge on everything.
No, I think it's great. I think it's great for the longer term, because as every month that CPM rate just stays stagnant.
Yeah, that's the more erosion there is.
That is further erosion, which it pushes podcasters that do want to make money, that's only a small, it's not the majority. We know the majority of podcasters just do it because they want to. But that section that does want to make money podcasting, it pushes them into things that are more sustainable.
Hey, look, and, here's
value for value, whatever.
Here's a sustainable model. Pod News. Pod News, very sustainable model. It starts off telling me who the sponsor is today. And there may or may not be some stories in there from a sponsor from time to time. Doesn't really bother me. And then it ends. And sometimes there's people who support the show, bronze, silver, gold, they get a mention. It's fine. It's fine. And it's not a 60-second ad. It's like, this is brought to you by, Magellan AI or Magellan, depending on where you're from. And it ends that way. And that's fine. It's a short podcast, so I'm going to hear the tag at the end. It doesn't bother me. It's all groovy. I take it into account. If I hear a story about someone who's also a sponsor, either in that show or later. I'm like, okay, yeah, noted. Mm. And James always says, support us, value. For, I think, I don't know if he says value. For, I stream him, you know, 200 sats per minute. And, you know, every single day. So that adds up. You know, I may be streaming him $30 a month. And he mentions that and he thanks people for it. And, you know, that's a good model. That works. But there's no DAI. There's no, you know, there's nothing popping in before the show starts or anything like that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that has to go away, mm-hmm. and that's where all this CPM
erosion
stuff comes from.
CPM erosion comes from.
Yeah, it comes from that. It comes from that just broken model, yeah. and I think the quicker that whole thing can just collapse is the better.
Shall we play a song?
Yes, please.
So the Boostergram Bowl episode 23 that I did live and was broadcast live into the venue there, Embassy Suites in Nashville, was mainly produced by Jim Costello. I said, hey, send me a list of songs. Send me a set list, man. Send me some songs. Tell me what you want me to play because I didn't want to miss anyone who was there. By the way, I think Andy Rock and Roll Breakheart is my favorite new artist.
That guy's awesome.
And he boosted me back.
Did he
boosted like 18,000 sats back to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Seeing him live was a trip, dude. He was fantastic. Like rolling around on the floor and
he's got, you know, he's got the 2 feet going. He's got the tambourine and the drum, you know, the drumstick on one. He's got the kick on the other one and just doing Chuck Berry riffs at, you know, 1,000 times speed. Fantastic. I love that guy. But I'm not going to play his song. There was another song that when I heard it, I'm like, oh my God, this is my new favorite song in the value verse. I want everybody to boost. If you're going to boost this show, boost this artist, and please tell the artist you heard it on Podcasting 2.0. There's something about this Jack Holiday that I love. This one's titled Tiptoe.
Baby, let your hair down. Ain't nothing worth stressing. You pick it up and blow a kiss, and you're giving your best now. And bless their heart while you're at it. And baby, it's a showdown. You don't tell them you're coming. It's your mental game. You're running your ground a mighty high. Can't even look them in the eye. Your feet in the knee. You're feeling the need. Get it what you want, what you need. Feeding the need. Getting what you want, you're getting what you need. You're feeling free. You pick the side, you ride or die. But you can walk the line. Just tiptoe, tiptoe. Just tiptoe, tiptoe. You can make the rules now. Whose game are you playing? What move are you making? It's written in the stars. Can you tell them who you are? Take a good look now. See who sticks around. When you cross the finish line, who's still on your mind? Running races in your time. Your feet in the knee. You're feeling the need. Get it what you want, what you need. Feeling the need. Getting what you want, you're getting what you need. You're feeling free. Pick the side, you're right or die. Line. Just tiptoe, tiptoe. Just tiptoe, tiptoe. Feeling the need. Feeling free.
I mean, the song's just got everything. You got saxophone, you got a driving bass line. Obvious lack of auto-tune. Love it. Love that song.
Yeah,
I could listen to a whole album of that. I really could. I love that. That's a great song. Kind of like Macy Gray, a little bit of Alicia Keys vibe in there. Mm. The whole thing is good, man. I like it.
Oh, Julie sent me the license.
Already. Yay. License achieved.
Not even over yet.
Uh-oh. We got a baller. Well, I sound like a mini baller. Sound like a 10,000 baller. Let's see. Nice. Anonymous podcast guru user 10,000.
Oh, thank you, Anonymous.
Beautiful. With a hand clap V for V. Thank you very much. I went straight to the artist. Love that. That's how you got to do it.
Yeah, nice. I think podcast follow, I think we'll talk about that next week.
Okay.
That's a Nathan Gathright proposal on the namespace. I've been remiss. I've got to check out Headliner's new 2.0 chapter tool.
Oh, okay.
So they added like a, I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to look at this.
Cloud chapter feature?
Right. Yeah. It's similar to HyperCatcher Studio.
It outputs it as JSON.
Uh huh. And they integrated it into their AI thing. So that it gives you a bunch of chapters to start with. And then you can go back and edit them to be whatever you want. And it's supposed to be collaborative, like HyperCatcher. So I've been meaning to check that out.
Oh,
and,
cool.
Yeah, they gave me Max over there. Gave me a login. I need to mark that so I won't forget.
Beautiful.
Let me mark that. So I just found this feature in Fastmail the other day that I didn't know that the snooze feature.
You can snooze a person.
Snooze an email.
Oh, and then it pops back later. Up. Does it pop back up to the top of the stack, or what does it do?
I think so. Yeah.
That's what I want for my AI people. That's what I'm looking for. You fix my email, I'll believe in AI.
Did you see Podcast Guru has got Podroll support now?
Yeah, I have an Android version, so I don't think it's updated on Android yet. But that's fantastic. Let me see. I don't think that that's...
Let me see if it's on mine.
Let me see. No, I don't see it here.
Let's see, podcast. Don't see it.
But that's the stuff we need. That's what we need. Mm-hmm. We need that, and we need a wallet solution. Hello, Oscar Mary.
Well, so we talked, I talked to Oscar about that and talked to Michael from Wavelake. I talked to him about stuff for a while.
Mm-hmm.
We probably talked for half an hour.
Oh, good.
And just about all the things going on. And, Zebedee.
Yeah.
So did I tell you I talked to the...
Tell me.
I talked to a lady from Zebedee. And she said that she listens to the show.
Hello, Zebedee lady.
Yeah. I can't remember her first name because it was so loud. At that top floor of the vinyl lounge that I kept missing her name every time she said it. But I asked her to email me so that I would know who she was. Mm-hmm. And I haven't gotten an email from her. So,
and this is pertaining to, can we use Zebedee for wallets?
Yeah, she said that they would be glad to offer an Albi like service to apps.
Oh,
she said, hello. Yeah. Yeah, so she said that they're...
that would be dynamite.
She said that they would be... She's like their social media person.
Okay.
And then she said that she could hook us up with the correct people for figuring all that out. And
the main thing is, can they just do it with a fee and not with a cost to the app developer? And then be off to the races there. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, so I want to work all that stuff out with their people, but I need either her or somebody from Zebedee to call to get in touch with me. So David@podcastindex.org, because I don't remember her name.
Okay, well that would be fantastic. And I heard Chris over there at Jupiter on This Week in Bitcoin that he moved to the Albi Hub. And he seemed quite pleased with it, with the transition and everything. But okay. I got to tell you, I've looked at Albi Hub and my eyes glaze over. I don't quite under, I mean, I'm waiting for it just to be simple, simply understandable to me. I don't know. I'm waiting for it to be available on my Start 9, to be honest. That's, and I'm sure it already works and everything, but I just haven't figured out the process yet. I haven't really put my brain to it.
Yeah, I've mentioned this before. I just want this all. I just want some sort of solution, because it's more than mildly frustrating to think that you've solved a problem and then have to go back to the beginning and solve it over again.
Yes.
And we have bigger fish to fry in 2.0.
Yeah, we do.
We don't need to be reinventing this all over again.
No.
And
simple OAuth will do, people.
Yes, and when you go to one of these events, like the Nashville Live event, you realize how powerful this whole thing could be.
Oh yeah.
It makes it even more frustrating.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're gonna get there. God willing, we're gonna get there, and it seems to be in the cards. But yeah, it just take these things take time. Yeah. It takes time. And someone wrote me today, or sent me a link to. Let me see if I can find it. It's actually worth playing. Something that President Nixon said.
Throwback.
Yeah, big throwback. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Oh, here it is. This is 50 years ago.
We all met in the Lincoln sitting room, as I recall.
Is this the one?
She came down.
No, that's not the one. This is the one. Here we go. I think this is the one.
From the 23rd of July.
Nope, that's not the one. It was very specific about, let me see. I don't know if I can find it. Let me see. If I'm lucky. I may not be lucky at all. Someone sent out my timeline. Hold on. The essence was, of course, at the time, this was the Watergate scandal, and which, you know, is now universally recognized that he was railroaded. He was railroaded out of office with this Watergate thing. And here it is. I found it. Thank goodness.
The greatest concentration of power in the United States today is not in the White House. It isn't in the Congress, and it isn't in the Supreme Court. It's in the media, and it's too much, because it is too concentrated in too small a circle. You have, for example, the Washington Post owning not only the Washington Post, but the major all-news radio station and a television station in Washington, and a major national magazine, Newsweek. You have CBS with its affiliates. You have NBC. Controlled by one of the largest corporations of the country, you have ABC. You have, of course, Time Inc., and everybody knows their stroke. With that concentration of power, let me say, particularly in the television area, in the networks, it's too much. It's power that the founding fathers would have been very concerned about.
So I love this because you know, my answer was, well, yeah, but that power, just like everything else, is eroding slowly, and then it will go very fast all of a sudden. Because look at Joe Rogan, you know, supposedly 10 million listeners per show. Yeah, maybe make it 5, doesn't matter. Tucker Carlson, you know, big numbers. There's lots and lots and lots of people are doing podcasts, and that power is eroding. And now, you know, you can't be a politician without a podcast these days, it seems. So, you know, for it to take a while for us to remove the centralized power, which we, and effectively we've already done it. We've removed the centralized power of the music industry. It's gone. We've removed it, but it will take a while. The erosion happens slowly. But I saw 14, 15, how many different bands and artists at Bands at Bitcoin? They're going to go out and they're going to tell people, hey, there's something happening. And those people will check it out. And then it'll on and on and on. It takes a while. Everybody wants, we want it fast. Want to go. Want to speed it up. Well, I'm in it for the long haul.
It reminds me of this. Let me see if this will, I don't know if this will work or not. It reminds me of this old Obama clip. Does that work? Do you hear that?
No, it's hard to hear. Can you crank it up? Is it? Sounds like it's coming through your laptop into your mic, actually.
It's actually going through Bluetooth through my phone into the Rodecaster.
You got to crank it up.
I know.
There we go.
Not all countries in this body share this particular understanding of the protection of free speech. We recognize that. But in 2012, at a time when anyone with a cell phone can spread offensive views around the world with a click of a button, the notion that we can control the flow of information is obsolete.
Yeah, that's...
It's not who we are!
You just reverse that, and that's, anyone with a cell phone, the idea that you can control these new avenues is absurd.
And so there's the point. Social media, yes, controllable. Absolutely controllable. Even Mastodon, this, like, there's so much going on with admins of instances. The bigger the instance, the more powerful the censorship is. When someone says, "I just don't want that on my server," boom, you're done. Podcasting, not so much. Right. Not so much. By the way, I made a huge pitch for Podping on No Agenda the other day.
And did you?
Yeah, I was explaining it to Dvorak. I was explaining that, how wasteful Apple is. Yes. He says, "Wait a minute. So they can use this for free?" I said, "Oh, yeah." And then I explained, how they're polling the feeds and everything. And then, of course, the punchline was, "And John, it runs on blockchain."
Yeah, that's when he's...
I forgot to credit a whole bunch of people for the work that's done there. I said, Sir Brian of London started it. But, obviously I should have mentioned Alex Gates and many
Brian
more
started it. Alex programmed it.
Yeah, exactly.
We launched it. Yep.
So we thank some people here, brother.
Yeah, sure. We've got... who is this? Oh, Blueberry. Our buddies, Todd.
You want me to do the recent boosts first?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go
for it. That came in during the live show. Salty Crayon 555. Jack Holiday, heard it on Podcasting 2.0, he says. Beautiful. Going right through to the artist. 10,000, as I said, from anonymous podcast guru user 10,000 with 10,000 sats. Oystein Berger, 20,000 sats. That guy's amazing. He says, perfect start for the weekend, boosting up Podcasting 2.0. I met him at the No Agenda Amsterdam meetup. He's everything you think he is.
What do you mean?
Imagine a Viking who's 8 feet tall, but weighs 120 pounds.
Oh, wow. He's like a beanpole.
Yeah. With a beard and mustache, the whole thing. He's perfect.
Sweet.
It's amazing. Lincoln, 3333. Wow. That's good stuff. There's Sam Sethi with 1,000 sats. He says, why should apps give hosts our first party data for free? We will offer creators services to see their metrics. We might aggregate listen time or value paid, but why should we give this data for free to hosts or advertisers? Now, I know, for the industry, Sam.
For the industry. Yeah.
D's Laughs comes in with 1,000 sats. Glad to be invited into the boardroom. You mean Apple can use this for free? Yeah. He says, John was funny about that. He said he liked that. 777 from Sam. We have fixed the wallet and top up subscribe to your wallet. Now we need to teach people how and why they should pay. I think the podcasters need to teach their listeners. But if you can do it, I'm all for it. Tone Wrecker 12345, shout out to the Value for Value musicians and artists participating at last week's gathering in Nashville. 1,000 sats from Sam. Once you know how streaming sats work, you don't need to keep asking. I disagree. My wife all the time is like, oh, I didn't check my wallet. It's empty. It's been empty for weeks. Okay. 1,000 sats from Sam. With audiobooks, users pay in advance with sats or fiat. Or why not pay as you read? Well, there's all these models. I believe in a value for value model. If you can make it work, I'm all for it. And Sam, another 1,000. He's drinking his wine. We have Wavelake categories working. We have event and film categories. We are working with Dystopia. We'll send you details.
Dystopia?
It says
probably Dystopia.
Probably Dystopia. Okay, good for phase
Dystopia
eight.
Dystopia is their sister company. Yes. It's for tipping.
Yes. 2222 from Salty Crayon Row of Ducks. Morning boardroom was trying to listen to Phantom Power Artist Hour on True Fans today and found out it's pay to play, not a donation. I must pay 13,000 sats to listen to that particular podcast. Then I see no option to connect it back to the Albi Hub. The only option is pay $1 per day or $10 a month. Sorry, I'll donate to Podverse, but I'm not participating in more pay to play. What happened? sad face emoji. I don't, this is new to me. I was not aware of this.
I don't know.
We have, oh, there's the delimiter. So over to you, Dave.
No. Well, we got Todd and the girls and boys from Blueberry. $300 says from the Blueberry team.
Go podcast. Hello.
Baller, shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Go podcasting.
Yo, brothers and sisters over at Blueberry, thank you very much. Big supporters of the Index.
Yeah, Julie said maybe Sam's testing something on TrueFest, because I didn't see that either. I mean, I was in there over the weekend, I think, and I don't
remember. Surprises me. Yeah, surprises me.
I don't think I don't know that he made it paywall, but I don't know. Maybe he can tell us what he did. Franco Solario, our buddy from Castomatic, the Italian doctor who builds podcast apps on the side, $100.
All right. Baller, thank you. Nice.
Shot caller, 20-inch blades on the Impala.
Nice, nice. Thank you so much, Franco.
Yeah, thank you, Franco. Appreciate that. Thanks, guys. We got some boostergrams. Let's see. We've got Pod Home. Oh, that's Barry. Barry, yep, over Pod Home.
Barry.
The podcast guru. He sent us 15,000 sats. He says, nice. You guys all rock. I'm so happy all of you are out there and happy to do my part in this podcasting revolution. Such an amazing time in technology.
Oh, good to have you here, brother. It's good to have you native 2.0 guys.
25. from Steven Ishizu. 2,514 sats through Fountain. He says, bro, what in the absolute location doxing is this? This is the guy's room that we were using for the...
He said he sent us his room number, in sats. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're sorry. We're sorry we doxed you, but did you get any champagne? Did anyone send champagne to his room?
Steven is he's a really great guy. We hung out with him later after went and got some food. Because
all
some
the
beer
groupies were in his room. He's like, I can't deal with them right now. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a really nice funny. Guy.
Amazing.
Let's see. 1,500 sats from R.W. Nash through through Fountain. It's a solid show yet again, gents. Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and light on the boost today. We've got the delimiter, 24,000 sats, 24 grand from Comic Strip Blogger.
Hello, CSB. Now just read it normal, because he gets all bent out of shape.
Well, I don't do the gravelly voice. I haven't earned that yet. So I tend to go for the
dramatic read.
The must see movie of the summer read. Howdy, Dave and Adam. I would like to ask the Podcasting 2.0 community to send boostergrams to the podcast Curry and the Keeper. They are in great need of sats, bigly. Accompany Tina and Adam Curry as they delve into the realms of existence, romance, and libations. Discover their experiences navigating their relationship, spirituality, and religion, along with daily escapades with their beloved canine companion, Phoebe.
Aw.
Visit www.curryandthekeeper.com. Yo, CSB.
Oh, thank you, CSB. Always promoting other shows. I love that about him.
See, we got some monthlies. We got, Pedro Goncalves, $5. Thank you, Pedro. Chad Farrow, Chad F, $20.22. Thank you, Chad. And I promise I did not rug pull you on the cashew mint. I will send you your sats. a 1,500 sat rug pull is the weakest rug. That's very weak. Okay. Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Appreciate it. He's been donating forever. Kevin Bay. He's a new automatic payment profile, new subscription from Kevin nice. Bay, $5 a month.
Thank you, brother. Welcome to the party.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. Let's see who we got. Oh, Podpage. It was Brendan over there at Podpage. Thank you. $25. Appreciate that. New media.
Stop. Congratulations to Dave Jackson, now working with Brendan over there at Podpage.
He got out.
And I use Podpage for Curry and the Keeper, in fact, and for Boostergram Ball. And I love the service, and I'm very excited to see what more will come. I mean, he's showing chapters now. He's showing transcripts. Doing all kinds of stuff. It's becoming I've always liked it. just because it's like, here's the RSS feed. Boom. It shows up. Tina designed currythekeeper.com and she found it. Mm-hmm. And she's done a lot of these things in her nonprofit life. And she loved the tool. She thought it was relatively easy to get it all looking the way she wanted. And they have a feature where you can call and leave a voice message.
I've seen that on different. Yeah. I think that's the thing with a few different platforms now, the voice message thing.
Yeah. It's kind of cool because, you know, people record a message, I can play it in the show. So, I'm happy to see Dave there and I look forward to seeing I had no idea that I know what I'm paying him, which is, you know, this real money. So I'm glad they're doing well because that means they can do more and do more with 2.0. Very exciting.
It's kind of a good fit because Dave's a teacher and that's more like that feels more like somebody who would use PodPage is probably somebody who would be very receptive to like learning new things about how to make their podcast better. You know what I mean? Not just from like, what do I talk about? Like hosting or whatever, but like all the tools that go around that thing. Like I guess what I'm saying is like, he does the Future of Podcasting show with Daniel Lewis, which is a great show. Mm-hmm. And so he's already teaching people who don't know much about the tech. Mm-hmm. So this seems like a good fit.
And also they have a pretty nice mobile view. Mm-hmm. I can see them adding V4V.
Oh, that would be great.
And becoming an app.
What I could see is them adding a thing like DoviDos built for bands at Bitcoin.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Where you have a QR code donate to the show button.
Yep. With a forward. Yep. Beautiful.
With a forward. That would be a great service.
Yeah. It's nice. It's a good service.
Martin Lindeskog, $1. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Martin.
And Mark Graham, $1. Thank you, Mark. And that's our group.
Well, we are value for value. We talked about it. So there's the thank you portion. Here's the please support us version because you're sending it to this show and Dave and I are happy to conduct the board meetings every single week. Dave does it on his lunchtime. This should be a day off for me, but I love doing this. I love helping drive and move the community forward, but it's really for the index, for podcastindex.org. You help keep the machines running, help keep the infrastructure in place. And when you boost us with a modern podcast app, you're actually supporting the apps and many other people. Let's see, who do we have in the feed right now? We have value for Sovereign Feeds, Dreb Scott, of course, Chapters. We now cut a bit to Podping. For Brian. And we also, let me see, in the episodes... Regular episode.
Alex is in there.
Yeah, we got Alex, although his node seems to be down or disconnected. We got to figure that out. Eric PP, he's in there. Reflex.io, of course, that's Spurlock. So you're supporting everybody, but we also appreciate your PayPals. Go to podcastindex.org. You'll see down at the bottom on the homepage, you'll see two red buttons to donate. We should remove the Tally coin if we haven't already because it goes nowhere.
I thought that was.
Did we remove that? Did we remove it? Let me see.
Yeah, no, that's gone. Yeah.
Oh, so it's just one big red donate button.
Steven.
Oh, we have Conchacks.
Conchacks.
Conchacks. Where does that go?
It goes to Twitter. Okay, so this is what you need to here. Here's how this works. Here's how this works. Okay.
Don't click on that one.
Let me explain to you how things get onto the website.
That was a pull request, no doubt.
People create, when I say people, I mean mostly Steven Crater creates, but some others, they create pull requests, which then show up in my email from GitHub, which I click on the link. It takes me to GitHub and I immediately just hit merge. I don't check it.
This could have been to a porn site for all we know. It could have been an OnlyFans account. And it goes to a page that says, "Dear community, we want to take Conchacks in a new direction. It requires us to move on from our value for value services."
Right. So that's a Steven Crater all the way is what that is.
Yeah, well, maybe we should have that change. That might be handy. Thanks. But the left-hand button takes you to PayPal, and you can support us that way. We got hijacked.
Well, I mean, it's more of a long way around hijack, because you actually submit a pull request. We hijacked ourselves. That's what this is.
It's a PR hijack is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny. Well, thank you, Crater. Stephen Crater. Oh, very funny.
Eric
very funny.
PP says, we replaced Tallycoin with Conshax when Tallycoin died, and now Conshax is gone too.
Well, what's the next thing we can do that will die? I mean,
Lord have mercy. We need to stop. Every time we need to stop linking to people because we're the killer.
Yeah, it's like the kiss of death. Who wants a link from us?
No.
All right, brother. So it'll be regular board meeting time next week, I presume. And with any luck, I won't be talking to you in tears this week as I work on my. I'm going to try it. I can do this. I can do this. I know I can do this. I know I can do this. This complete merge. This thing. I can do it. I can do it. Tell me I can do it.
You can do it, and you just need to make sure you have an exit strategy,
a rollback plan. Okay, I need yet another drive. Okay, I'll wait until I get another drive to do that. Brother, thank you very much, Dave. Thanks for coming in early. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Right. See you next week.
And have yourself a good weekend, Dave.
Yep, you too.
Everybody in the boardroom, thank you for being here. Go podcasting. We'll see you next week. Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Yeah, thanks, Fed.